Repentance. Amen. That's right. A very, very crucial, important ingredient in salvation is repentance. Because we were there in Matthew chapter 7, I'm going back to it this morning, and I'm preaching another facet.
Old Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
Don't really need, but you know, the truth of it is, you can sit at church house and you can get preached every week and you can think you're okay and you realize, hey, I'm not okay at all. I'm not saying you're not saved, I'm simply saying you can think you're okay spiritually and be dead and numb inside. There's a reason why we have revival meetings. And we're going to have one before too long in the month of October. Brother Weaver will be back with us in October. And I always look for Brother Weaver being here just simply for his company, nothing else. But I look forward to his preaching. I look forward to that week of revival. Look forward to being in God's house every night. And I just enjoy it. It's a blessing. And so I want your attention this morning. You'll be listening this morning and so will a great number of people out in internet land. We get listens everywhere. I think last Sunday we had 26 listens or something like that. So there are people in the congregation we don't even know it's here, huh? 24 listens last Sunday. Amen. So that's 24 people that were here in person, but they're listening with us. They're watching, and they need this too. You need this. So I want to be a help to you this morning. So I want you to go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 7. I'm gonna give you a couple places to turn to, so you already have your, you can put your book marker or stick your finger there. That way you'll be ready when I call it out. You already be there and turn to Matthew 7 is one, and Luke chapter 14 is the other. Matthew 7 and Luke 14, and I'll have you turn a few other places. And there's another one in Deuteronomy, and then another one, and then there's some places in Matthew, Mark, and Luke where we're going to look at, but Deuteronomy is the only wild card that you where you're looking back in the Old Testament. Are we back there, Brother Lonnie? How far we got? Ready to go? Are we rolling? Oh, we're already rolling. Okay, all right. You pray for me this morning. Actually, you know, it's amazing. God's great. When you get in the pulpit, my ankle didn't hurt this morning. Amen. I know it would have twisted it a certain way, but just to stand here this morning doesn't even hurt. It's amazing how God takes over when you get in the pulpit to preach. But Matthew chapter 7, if you would, and we're going to read verses 13 through 20. And I want you to pay close attention to the Word of God this morning and what it has to say to you personally. You understand something? This is God's love letter to you. It is not just a Bible, not a textbook. It's not just a guidebook. It is God's love letter to you personally. As if you were the only person that ever existed in the entire world, and that book is yours. God wrote it to you. So understand what he's saying this morning as we read Matthew 7, 13 through 20. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." The world, the majority of the world has religion. Do you realize that? The majority of the world has religion. Somebody once said you can find places in, I mean, just about all over the world. You know, McDonald's has restaurants, I believe, in almost every country in the world. You need to pay attention. You need to wake up right now, paint yourself, whatever you got to do. You need to hear what I'm saying this morning. Listen. Amen. Not going to have you going to sleep in church. Sit up and pay attention, or I'll have you up here in this chair. Amen. People stood on the internet saying, who is he talking to? My son is who I'm talking to. And you'll be in this chair up here on the platform if you don't listen and pay attention, stay awake. Our McDonald's arches, those golden arches, are in just about every country in the entire world. Walmart is in just about every place you can imagine. Coca-Cola. There are Coca-Cola plants all over this world. You know, I watched a documentary on Coca-Cola, and it showed how it go into Africa with, and how it goes from the distributed plants in major cities to Africa, and then these trucks, you watch them just find these pig trails hauling this Coca-Cola, and they drop it off. It looks like some little tar hut, and from there, somebody takes on a bicycle and pulls it up, and they take out another pig trail to another little tar hut, and somebody, four or five people show up and grab baskets and throw them on their head and take them off down into the bush. I'm telling you, but you know what? But there are some places in this world where you can go and you won't find a Coca-Cola bottle. And there are still places in this world where you can go and you won't find Walmart. There are still places in this world where you can go and you won't find a Big Mac. But I tell you what, you find a place where there ain't no Walmart, there ain't no Coca-Cola, and there ain't no Big Macs, I can tell you this, you'll find a place of worship. You'll find a place of worship. Anywhere you find people gathering together, you'll find them worshiping something. Amen. They'll be worshiping a hollowed-out tree, or they'll be worshiping a rock, they'll be worshiping trees, or they'll be worshiping the stars, or they'll be worshiping fire, or they'll be worshiping a man-made, man-built stone monument, or they'll be worshiping a bronze statue, or they'll be worshiping a book, or they'll be worshiping somewhere. They'll be worshiping. This idea of atheism is kind of new. It's fairly new. It hasn't been around very long. I'm telling you this morning.
Get on the front row.
You know, I'm telling you this morning, this idea of what of there is no God, that's a new idea. There's always things that people worship. God is the way. God is the gate that leads to destruction. And I know I'm preaching, we ain't even finished reading, have we? Many be that go in thereat. Bible says, verse 14, here's why. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen? That's our text verse. I'm going to keep reading. I want you to hear that. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And immediately after that, Jesus said this. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They look like sheep. Amen? They look and they sound like godly men, but instead of being godly, they are wolves. They want to destroy the sheep. They will tell you of a broad way, tell you it's a narrow way. They will tell you that you can go to God and you can walk through life as a Christian any way you want to, because God is a God of love and He understands. I can tell you that this morning there are people sitting in their living rooms eating popcorn and drinking Coca-Cola and sweet tea with their feet kicked in their underwear, watching Joel Osteen tell about how to be better than them and they think they're getting the narrow way, but it's Broadway. It's a Broadway. They're watching the Joyce Meyers and Paula White of this world, and they think they're getting what Jesus called the narrow way, but it's not. They watch the Creflo Dollars. They stop late at night and watch the Peter Popoffs and the Benny Hens, and they think they're getting the narrow way, but getting the broad way. Because the wolves are pretending to be sheep. Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grape thorns? Hey, I picked some grapes before, but I've never seen any thorn on grapevine. He said, are figs of thistles? Hey, I like figs. Fig trees are awesome. They smell wonderful. Amen. Especially right after a good cool rain in the summertime, and the fig leaves just put off the aroma. But I can tell you, and my grandma had a fig tree in her yard, and I played around that fig tree, and I never once got thistle on me because I ain't none. He said, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot, you hear that? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. You know why? Because it ain't evil. It has a different nature than an evil tree. He's speaking to people. He's speaking metaphorically. Jesus is giving an analogy. He said, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. He can make it look good, but it ain't going to be good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, help us this morning. Lord, I need you. Lord, you know I need you. Father, if I've ever stepped into this pulpit, Lord, and thought I could do it, I was a fool. I know that it's you, Father. I know that it's your time to talk to your people. And Lord, this is the appointed hour. This is the time you've set aside. And Lord, you've chosen me for whatever reason. I still don't know why you'd use an old sinner like me. But Lord, love me and you give me your abundant grace. And call me to do this work. And Lord, I know that I'm just a feeble man, but Lord, I yield myself to you. And I ask you, Lord, to fill me and control me, speak through me, teach and preach to the people through me, Lord. Lord, I give myself to you all I know how. And I ask you, Lord, please to use the word of God. And Lord, use it skillfully, only you can, as a surgeon would a scalpel, Lord, to remove things that are hazardous and Lord, hurtful to our lives, Lord, to our testimony and our walk, Father, to our relationship with Thee. Oh, Lord God, please, I pray, Lord, that You'd open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and Lord, let us behold Your face and see You for who You really are, Lord, that we might want to be near You and closer to You, and Lord, that we might turn and look at our sin and be broken, Lord, and come in repentance, Lord, and renew in our relationship with Thee. Father, please, I pray, Father, the Holy Ghost of God, open our understanding this morning. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Luke 14, you would. Luke 14, and while you're turning there, I'm going to remind you of what verse 14 we just read says. It said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There's two different thoughts there. Do you understand that? There's a gate and there's a path. Amen. The gate, straight is the gate. Jesus is the door. Amen. He's the way in. Amen. There, you won't come in any other way than Jesus. Amen. Hey, once you get through the gate, you're in. You understand that, don't you? Amen. You come to the straight gate, you're in. You are a child of God. But there's path after gate. Don't just walk the gate and sit down and wait on Jesus to come get us. He has told us to walk. He's told us to take up a cross and follow Him. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of the cost of discipleship. Amen. I don't want you to just sit down inside the gate and say, okay, I have my salvation. Now I'm done. And so many people do that, and they forget that they're to keep walking. They forget that there's a journey that they're on with Jesus. Amen. I would recommend to you, you've never done it, and I know most of us in here have the character probably to do it, or the time to do it, or the eyesight to do it. We can always find a reason why not. But I would urge you, if you have a way to do it, get you a copy of Pilgrim's Progress and read that book. If you say, well, I've read Pilgrim's Progress, I urge you to read it again. Pilgrim's Progress is about the Christian walk on the way to heaven. It was written by John Bunyan, who was a Baptist preacher from a long time ago in England, who wrote it in a Bedford jail, wrote it on mixed bottle stopper caps, because he was imprisoned for preaching without taking a license, because he would not let the state run his preaching. He would not submit to them, and he had backbone, and he was a God-fearing Baptist preacher who would not cow down, and I thank God for men like John Bunyan, and he wrote that entire thing on milk bottle stopper caps. And it's one of the most classic pieces of literature outside of the Word of God. And it's all about this walk, narrow way. It tells the story of a man named Christian. And he's on his way to the celestial city. Amen. And you need to read it if you ever get a chance. Amen. But I want to tell you, the Bible says narrow is the way. Amen. It ain't broad. It's narrow. There is some things you got to understand about walking this narrow path. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'll give three things that Savior said from Luke chapter 14 this morning. Three thoughts, amen. Three things he told us. Three very important things about walking this narrow path. And if you get these things, if the Lord speaks to you and gives you this morning, it will help you tremendously in being a Christian. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35, I'm going to read that entire passage of Scripture. The Bible says, and they went great multitudes with him. That's Jesus. Great crowds of people followed our Savior everywhere he went. Now, they ain't all just wanting to hear the Bible. Now, you say, preacher, he didn't have a Bible. He is the Bible. Amen. They didn't all go just because they wanted to hear his word. There was some that went because they wanted to be healed or something. There was some who went because they were hungry, and they'd heard about him feeding others. There was some who went because it's a popular thing to do. There was some who went because they didn't have anywhere else to go. There were people who went because they just like to socialize. There are people who go for all their kinds of reasons, just like there are all kinds of reasons why people come to church. And there went great. How do you know that, preacher? Because in John chapter 6, verses 66 and 67, the Bible says from that time, many, they left him. They walked no more with him. And he was down to just his 12. He turned to them and he looked at them and he said, you also go away? Y'all gonna leave too? From that time, many walked no more with him. Multitude, that crowd, hey, it was good, it was all fun and games walking with Jesus until it got hard to do. Until it started cutting down with discipleship. Tell them, look, if you're going to go with me, there's some things you're going to do. And I'm going to give you things this morning. And it's going to be hard for you to grasp these things and really incorporate these things without God's power. There went great multitude with him, and he turned, and he said unto them, if any man will come to me, now get what he's saying, if you're going to follow me, if any man come to me, listen, and hate not his father, and his mother, and his wife, and his children, and his brethren, and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath lay the foundation, he's not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what king, going to war with another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him, which cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditioned peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor fit for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said that for a reason. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He realized that crowd wasn't going to get what he was saying. Amen. I realize these sitting here this morning don't get what I'm saying probably. These folks listening to the internet ain't going to know what I'm saying this morning. These folks sitting here this morning, they're sleepy and going to hear what I'm saying. These folks here this morning ain't paying attention in their minds, ain't going to get what I'm saying. These folks here this morning don't care what I'm saying. These folks this morning just ain't understand it. But if you hear it, it'll change you. I'm not up here to talk to hear myself talk. I'll be honest with you. Hey, I'm walking around hobbled ankle. I can tell you right now, I have to sit down and let somebody else preach, but God got me up here because he got something to say to you. Jesus turned around to this guy to follow him everywhere he went. And he said, look, you listen. If you're going to follow me, I'm going to paraphrase what Jesus said. If you're going to follow me, there's some things you're going to have to do. Number one, he said about the family. He said, and number two, he said about the cross. Number three, he said about the possessions. And he said, listen, hey, if a guy's going to build a tower, and I assume he's building a tower to watch out for things. He said, you know, and he sets out and he builds foundation, and then he starts building, and he realizes he ain't got enough money in the bank. And he's got half a tower sitting there. And everybody comes by and looks at it, and sees he can't go further with it. They're going to laugh at him. His testimony is going to be ruined. Do you understand what he's talking about? He's telling them, you start following me and you give up, you're going to be a joke, Christianity. You're going to be a laughing stock and you're going to make me look bad. You're going to, listen to me, you're going to make Christianity unpalatable for others. You're going to turn, listen to me, you're going to turn others away from getting saved. I'll tell you some hard things this morning. I don't intend to give you smooth words and dainty phrases that make you feel good about yourself. I ain't interested in you having your best life now or becoming a better you. I want you to hear what Jesus said. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It got to do with God's word says. Hey, I'm not great. I'm not fit to say it anymore, and you're fit to hear it. Understand that. I'm just the messenger. Amen. God told me to preach it. I like to preach stuff like this because it's hard to hear. You know what? I'm going to preach it. God said preach it. He said, listen, hey, who, and by the way, he said, you know, a king, he's going to go to war with 10,000 and face 20,000. He said, doesn't have to stop and think, are we going to be able to defeat them? Last night was the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And I was done with everything, and I had time, so I sat and I watched it because a guy that used to coach the Dallas Cowboys, Bill Parcells, was being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I enjoy listening to Bill Parcells talk. He's a highly educated man, a great motivator of men. And I like to listen to men who are great motivators of other men. And he was interviewed before he gave a speech, and he gave one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard. And By the way, he finished his speech off with this statement. He said, it was an inscription written in a locker room, and it said, "Losers assemble small groups and talk about coaches and assistant coaches and players who assemble in other little groups. Winners assemble a team." Now, you filter that down to what Jesus said. Whoever's going to come after me is going to have to be on the team. Amen? But again, what I was saying when they interviewed Bill Parcells before his speech, a lady asked him, "What was the one thing you're going to miss most about coaching?" Bill Parcells said this. He said it was facing an opponent that we knew was better than us. He said, "But I had my men so prepared. I knew that the other team was going to have to play perfect to beat us. I had those men in mind so prepared. I had such a game plan installed. I knew the other team had to play a perfect game to beat us." He said, "Which of you building, or which of you going to war, fights 20,000 with 10,000 unless he knows he can win?" That's what he was saying. I enjoyed going to battle because we were prepared. Amen? And Jesus turns and looks at it. He says that because he wants to know, if you're just following for following's sake, you need to go home. And I'm telling you right now, if you're following Jesus just for following's sake, you might as well go home. Why even come to church if you're not really in this thing? Why even on the Bible if not really serious about it? You're either all in or you're not in at all. Amen. I know that's hard to up. Jesus said, salt's good, but if it ain't got any salt left to it, hey, how you gonna salt salt? You can't salt. He said it's not good. It ain't good for the mineral. Ain't no minerals in it. It ain't good for the land. Hey, it ain't good for the dunghill. It ain't even good to put out there in a pile of cow manure to fertilizer. It ain't good for anything. It's sin. It's to be walked on. And a Christian that hasn't got any want to follow ain't good for nothing. Ain't good for nothing. Jesus is calling men to discipleship. And there's a cost involved in discipleship. The first cost, Luke 14:23. Look at it with me. In Luke 14:23, Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Well, wait a minute, Jesus. You said we're supposed to honor our father and mother. And he means that. He said, "Husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Means that. He tells us, "Love our brother as ourselves." Amen. If we don't love our brother, we're nothing. He means that too. So what does he mean? What does he mean? Now, what does he mean? Let me tell you what he means. Hear me. You know what he means? God means he's going to play second fiddle to nobody. Now, you play fiddle, don't you? Hey. See, what I mean, look at me. What I mean by second fiddle is when somebody plays like in a group, in a band with other fiddle players, somebody is the number one fiddle person. Whenever it's time for a full solo, one guy's going to play that fiddle. Hey, but if he can't show up, guess who's going to get to play fiddle solo? Second fiddle. But you see, first fiddle is important as second fiddle. I remember when I was a kid growing up, and my stepbrother, he was a trumpet player. And he, I don't remember if he was first trumpet or second trumpet or third trumpet, but I remember hearing all that trumpet, first, third seat trumpet and all that rigmarole. And I never did care much for it, but I remember hearing all that. But I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to take a back seat to anybody. That's what he says. Jesus is saying, look, if you love your mama and you let whatever your mama says come for what I say, you can't follow me. If your daddy, what he said, listen to me, if your daddy mocks you because you're a Christian, you don't follow me because of it, hey, you ain't had to follow me. If your wife won't let you follow me and you'll count your way over me, you're not fit to follow me. If you put your kids ahead of me and you do whatever, hey, listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. He loves Disney films. So do all the rest of them. Hey, make it look good. Hey, Despicable Me and Cars and Planes and Turbo and all this Disney, Pixar entertainment. Hey, make it look good. But don't realize they're putting satanic messages in there for the kids. And I'm going to tell you something. It was easy to say, oh, no harm. It's just a Disney movie. Are you open now? Huh? Go somebody in. It's just a Disney movie. It won't harm anybody. Listen to me. God's more important to me than what my kids want. He said, if you're willing to let your kids dictate your morals, then you're not fit to follow me. That's what he's saying. I realize something. We're not living in first century Palestine. I realize that we're not Jewish. You understand that God, that Jesus was talking to Jews, and when they began to follow Jesus, their mom and daddy disowned them. Their wife divorced them. Hey, their kids disowned them. And they still do. They still do. Jews disown their family members who follow Christ. And that's the reason Jesus was saying it. But I'm going to tell you, I want to give you just an idea of how serious this is, God. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy. You want to see how serious this business is to God. I'm going to tell you, there are people in this world who they say, I'm getting saved, but they won't follow God because of somebody else. Deuteronomy. And I want you to turn to chapter 13, and we'll look at verses 6 through 10. Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 10. Now, I realize it's Mosaic law, and it doesn't apply today because we're not Jews, but I want you to listen to what went on back then. The Bible says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, thy daughter, or thy wife of the bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly. That means talk you into something, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers, namely the god of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto them, nor hearken unto them, neither shall thine eye pity them. Don't feel sorry for them either. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Don't go around not telling anybody what he tried to get you to do. Here's what he says. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. Afterward, the hand of all the people, thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because I sought to throw thee away from the Lord the God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. God says, if your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your wife, whoever it is, tries to take you away from me, kill them. Now, that was Mosaic law. Now, if God was that serious about it then, don't you think he's still serious about it? hardcore. Jesus was not playing when he told them, if your love for your family is greater than your love for me, or your love for your friends, your love for your wife, you ain't fit to be mine. Man, that's hard to hear, preacher. Yeah, and that is so opposite what's being preached today. What's being preached today is Jesus is sweet and Jesus is good and love. And he is all those things. But they don't preach the side of God. You got to have both sides. You got to have balance. You got to know who God is. God is not puppy dogs and rainbows and powder puffs. God is a jealous God. God is a consuming fire. God's word says, I am a jealous God. He is a God of wrath, a God of anger, as well as a God of love and mercy. Matthew 10:37, the Bible says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I never heard y'all say that, and you won't. You won't. Because that won't pack out the complex center or whatever place he preaches in. It won't pack out that big, huge arena. It won't sell books. It won't get him speaking engagements. He said, if you listen to me, you put it through your head. God says, I'm in first place. Dick, I'm in first place. I want you to put me before every other person in your life. Your loyalty is to me above every other person on this earth. When you put them before me, you're putting me in second place, and I will not have it. What we need to do is examine every relationship in our life and see who's more important. And I mean, it ain't one of the things I do it in word only. You better do it in action too. Unless you can say anything you want to say. I can say that her shirt is purple, but it don't make purple. I can say it's orange, but don't make it orange. It's going to be pink no matter what I say. You say, well, I don't do that. Well, I don't do that. I don't do that. All you want to, but if you're doing it, you're doing it. Amen. Said, man, this preaching's hard. I know. What? God's serious about it. Hey, it's a narrow way. Hey, it's a narrow way. There's not room. There's a reason why the Lord said, keep your eyes straight forward. Keep your eyes on, turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. Narrow way. He is our author and finisher of our faith. He's where to keep our eyes on him. Our eyes are single so that our body is full of light. Number two, verse 27 of Luke 14. He said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So what is he saying? I'll put it to you in simple terms. God doesn't want to wait on you. God doesn't sit around and wait on you. There's plenty of people, there's plenty of Christians who say, you know, when our kids are grown, I'm going to serve God. When we retire, I'll serve the Lord. When I finally quit working shift, I'll serve God. When we finally get this house paid off, I'll serve God. We're just trying to get the kid graduated, and we'll serve God. You know, we'd give the Lord's work, we'd give our time, but we got so many bills trying to pay off. Hey, God don't want to wait on you. Why do you think Jesus turned them and told them this? God didn't want a bunch of stragglers. He didn't want people who were just hanging around unless something came up. Matthew 16, look there. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, here's what he said. If any man will come after me, that means if anybody's going to follow me, let him deny himself. Wait, you said, well, Jesus, you said, don't put my mama or daddy first. Don't put my wife first. Don't put my kids first. Don't put my brothers and sisters first. Now Jesus says, don't put yourself first either. Don't you dare make a God out of yourself. Don't you dare put yourself before me. Amen. Hey, God ain't going to wait on you. God's not going to wait a second fiddle to you. God's going to let you do your thing for a while, and then when you get tired of it, turn to him. Hey, where are you to that? Ain't a single person here this morning who hasn't been put out on the back burner while I've done everything. That is why do what you want to is so wicked. That's why it's Satanism, because it's the antithesis. I hate using the word, but so it means the opposite of what Jesus said. And the opposite of what Jesus said is satanic. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's a burden. Don't you know that cross is heavy? Don't you know there's some weight to it? He said, well, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Well, I'm going to do what I want to. I've only got so much life. It's my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. I want to do it the way I want to. I've only got so much time left. My youth is slipping away. I've only so much time left with these good looks. I've got to use them while I have them. I've got to make the best of my time. I only have so much strength left. Then I'm going to crumble. I've got to use all this now. I've got to do what I can now. Because then I won't be able to have any more fun for God when I'm old, decrepit, and wrinkled. That's the idea of today for most people. When I start creeping toward the grave, then I start thinking about God. I get close to him, that's when I start thinking about him. Right now it's about having fun. God understands that. God knows that. He's a God of love. He forgave my sin. He knows that. He knows my heart. Only he judge me. Don't you judge me. How dare you say hurtful things fear you're judging. Don't judge me. I know you're not saying that. But I can tell you right now, that's the way the world thinks. Because they're on the Broadway. They like the narrow way. The narrow way is not appealing. The narrow way is very unappealing. It's distasteful. It's judgmental. It's harsh. Oh, it's a blessing if you're on it. But if you ain't on it, it's not what you want. He said, what does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Hey, there's a time of rewards coming. He's coming back like he went. Amen? And he's going to judge every man according to his works. Now, he's not talking about lost people. He's talking about he's going to judge those that are his according to his works. And if they can do any work, it's not going to go good. I can tell you right now, if you live your life for yourself, you're going to lose everything you could have had. Your soul, listen to me, your life, your soul, your person, whatever you, all you are, was wasted. Do you understand? Lose his own soul. It doesn't mean damn return in hell. It means it was all for nothing. You threw your life away. You've heard that terminology. Don't throw your life away. Well, you threw your Christian life away. That's going to happen. Christ is coming in the glory of his Father with his angels. He's going to reward every man according to his works. Look at Mark 8. Look at Mark 8. We've got a couple more places we're going to look at before we get on to the last. Mark 8. Look at verses 34 and 38 through 38. Mark 8, 34 through 38. I'll get a drink of water while you turn there. Always, when the Lord says something once, you better take heed. You better take heed the first time. But if he says something over and over, hey, he's trying to get you to hear it. Mark 8, 34 through 38, the Bible says, and he had called the people unto him with his disciples also. Sounds like it was around the same time, doesn't it? He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, if you're going to follow me, let him deny himself. Get out of first place. Take up his cross and follow me. He said it again. I think he probably said it more than once. It was a theme, Jesus. For whosoever save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, that doesn't mean you're gonna lay yourself down on the execution chop block and lose your head necessarily. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the Gospels, the same shall save it. So what does that mean? Well, same thing Paul meant in Galatians 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live flesh, I live the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave him before me. I'm dying to me. I am letting him live in me. As Brother Beaver said, I have a liver transplant. I'm not doing the living. Christ is doing living. I'm letting him use my body, my life. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm letting him have access and live through me. I'm getting out of the way. I'm shutting up, letting him talk. I'm getting out of the way, letting him live. Desires are going on the back burner. His desires are going on the front burner. He said, if you'll do that, you'll save your life. There'll be something there to reward. Amen. By the way, he says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's worth your soul? What in the world is worth your life? What in the world is worth the reward you exchanging that for? Material things? Listen, hey, you ain't going to take one thing with you when you go. Hey, you can't enjoy anything enough for it to last eternally, this material. He said, whosoever therefore, listen to this, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this. And by the way, he talks, I love the way Jesus talked. Listen to what he said. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sin generation. He said, look at who you're ashamed of me in front of. They are adulterous and sinful. Why did that make you ashamed? Of him, the person who's ashamed of me, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Lord, have mercy. He's going to be ashamed of some of us. That's just hard to hear. But that's the truth. You say, preacher, wait a minute. I ain't always let Jesus first place. Well, I'm going to tell you, you've lost some rewards. But instead of sitting around chewing your nails over it, live for it now and gain some rewards. Let him have what's left of you. Don't wait it. Are you a straggler? Or are you a follower? Are you a real disciple? Are you half in, half out? What's the situation? I'm trying to get your attention this morning. It's so important. Luke 9:26. One other place, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but I just want to. There's more to this story than just this one verse, but I just want to touch on it. It's just another example of what he's saying in his other passages. He says in Luke 9:26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of the words of him, shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Three times the Lord told you and told me, if you don't put me ahead of you, I'm going to be ashamed of you. That's straight up what he said. He said, if you put your family ahead of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. If you put yourself ahead of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. You can't follow me. You can't follow me. Do you remember the one young man? He told him to come and follow me, and he said, "Well, let me go and bury my father first." You remember that? And he said, "The dead bury their dead." You know what he was saying to him? The young man, first of all, was saying, "Hey, my daddy's old, but he ain't dead yet. Wait till daddy dies, and once daddy's gone, then I'll come and follow you." And he said, "Your daddy," he knew his daddy, because Jesus knew everybody. And he knew his daddy and his family wouldn't follow. That's why he made the statement. He said, "Let the dead bury their dead. Your daddy's going to keep you from being a Christian. Your daddy's going to hold you back from being what you could be for me. Let him, let the rest of the dead folks at your house bury your daddy. Because I tell you right now, either you come to me or you're going to be down there with them. And don't let them keep you from being a Christian. Don't let somebody else keep you from encouraging the Lord and standing for God and speak for God and being what you ought to be. Don't you let your own selfish desires keep you from being what you ought to be as a Christian." One more in the house. Luke 14:33. "So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsake not all he hath cannot be my disciple." Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all. It did up here. It didn't say some. It said all that he hath. Now I can break it down for you in a simple terms. When God pays for your soul with the blood of his Son, you're completely his. Guess what? All you have is his. Everything. What is God saying? He's saying, don't make gods out of material things. Don't get so attached to the things of this world that they hinder you from being a Christian. Don't look. Some people have such a love for Hollywood that they sacrifice their Christian morals to watch filth. Some people have such a love for football that they will stay home Sunday and watch football rather than go to church. Or NASCAR. Or basketball. Or baseball. Some people have love for television shows so much so they stay home and watch it and then go to church. Some people have a love for recreation so much so that they'll go to the lake instead of go to church. Some people have a love for Walmart. So much so they'll go to Walmart on Sunday while everybody's at church instead of going to the Lord's house. Amen. They have a love for drinking beer and mowing the yard. guarantee. Oh, they have a love for standing out in the yard with Bermuda shorts, drinking a cold beer and barbecuing instead of being in God's house. I guarantee you drive and with a 3-block radius, you'll find all of those things going on. Except for the football, because it ain't happened yet. Salt is a slaver. It ain't no good. It ain't no good. It ain't got no taste no more. Hey, it mocks God. It mocks him. It makes fun. Hey, it makes fun of Christianity. And Jesus said, you can't be my disciple if you're going to make a mockery of what I'm preaching. It's the narrow way. It ain't a broad way. You can't do it however you want to do it. It's a narrow way. There's only one way. There's only one format. There's only one way to get it done, and that's his way. It ain't your way. It's not open interpretations. It's not suggestion. Turn to Matthew 19. I thought I wasn't going to read all this, but I thought we'll just because I want to. Amen. I know you know the story, and I've got most of it on this iPad up here, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. I'm going to back up to verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. The story of the rich young ruler. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What a question. What good thing may I do? And he said unto him, what callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, why would Jesus say that? Because Jesus wanted him to see he was a sinner. He pointed him to the commandments. Jesus, why were you there? Why wouldn't you be grace? You should have told him how much he loved him. And know what I talked about last Sunday? Jesus is all about love and love, love, love. No, Jesus showed him he was a sinner, what he did. He preached penance right there. He said, what was the commandment to say? He took him to Moses. He took him to the table of law. He said, look at the law. Figure out what's wrong with you. That's what he was doing. He said, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which one are you talking about, Jesus? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder. Do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. And he said, you're judging me, Jesus. You're judging me. You're judging me. Don't judge me. No. That's what people say today because they think there's a broad way. And the young man said to him, just like a lot of these smart aleck mockers out on the streets do. All these things have I kept from my youth. I've been good my whole life. I've always been good. What lack I have? What am I missing? I've done all it. That's exactly what we get lost in the Queen's English with thinking our Shakespearean play, but you got to get the sense of what he's saying. I've been gone my life. What are you talking about? What am I not done? There's sarcasm. There's smart aleck in his life. He's looking at the Son of God and he's saying, I have all that and there's no way in a million years he ain't got a snowball's chance in hell that he ever have all that. He's staring, breaking, looking at the Son of God lying to him. Well, I've done all that. What am I missing? So Jesus, knowing exactly what was in his heart, Jesus said unto him, thou wilt be perfect. There's a reason why Jesus said that. His words were sharp. Do you understand that? Jesus wasn't trying to be sweet. God was angry with him because he's the enemy of God. You understand? He's controlled by the devil. He's a lost sinner who's controlled by the devil and is mocking God. And God Almighty, the Son of God, looks at this devil-controlled man, and he said, if thou wilt be perfect. You want to be perfect? Go and sell that thou hast. Go sell everything you've got. And give to the poor, and thou shalt have a treasure in heaven, and come follow me. You want to be perfect? We'll go to that. You know why? Because there's one thing I can't do. You think you've done it all? We'll do that. Do that! And inside he went, he didn't get convicted. He just went, he didn't have repentance. Oh, no, I ain't doing that. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His stuff was more important to him than his salvation. And it broke his heart that his stuff was being endangered. It wasn't that he was sorrowful that he couldn't go to heaven. He was sorrowful because Jesus had suggested that he give possessions up. Don't miss what's going on in the story. You say, how's this tying into me? I'll show you in a minute. I'll show you. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard, and by the way, don't get hung up on, was that a gate? I've heard and I've said, and I don't know. I don't believe it's true. I have no idea if it's true. I've heard there was this gate, and the only way a camel could go through it was on its knees, and I don't know if that's true. I've heard much of bull malark on that, and who cares if it's true? Hey, whether it's a camel through a cotton picking soul needle, what difference does it make? Jesus is hard. That's all that matters. Maybe he meant he had to strip that camel down, make bread out of him. Maybe. Take a long time. A lot of work. But when his disciples heard it, they went, whoa. And it means they were exceeding amazed. Whoa. Blew my mind, Jesus. Saying, well, who can then be saved? Because I imagine they look around, they have stuff. I got money in my pocket. But Simon, you got money in my pocket? Yeah. Dude, you got some shoes on. We got to get rid of all this stuff. Who's going to be saved? And I got stuff in my pockets. I got stuff at the house I left. It's still there. Jesus beheld them. He looked at it and realized that they didn't get it. And he said unto him, with men, this is impossible. Man can do this. A man, look, the reason that man couldn't get saved is that man loved his stuff. That man's stuff was more important. He had, listen, I've heard it said so many times. You can't have, this is my, look here. This is my church life right here. And this is my life over here. When I go to church on Sunday, hey, don't move my worldly stuff, my church stuff. But when I get out of church, that's different. I'm off. I'll do whatever I want to. This is mine. You don't have holy and secular, holy and profane in the life of a Christian. You shouldn't have two different things coming forth from the same vessel. Right. And don't, Mama, when we get to your house after a while to eat dinner, if we ever get there, we will. Don't hand me a glass at dinner that has got both Coca-Cola and milk in it. Or got got Coca-Cola and sweet tea in it. I don't want two things coming out of the same vessel. Just put the Coke in, it'll be fine. Amen. Jesus said, hey, with men it's impossible. Man cannot give up his stuff to be saved. Hey, but with God, when God saves a man, and when he follows me, he will give his things willingly to the Lord. His things will not become an impediment to his journey. They will not get in the way, but not become obstacles to him going and following Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hey, it's not that things in your pocket and things in your bank account, things in your house and having things is a problem. That's not what the Lord's saying. He's not saying your material things are evil and you shouldn't have material things. Heavens, no, we're not live like monks in a kind of monastery and shave the top of our heads around going, oh, we shouldn't. That ain't what God's saying. He's saying, don't you things that keep you from being my servant. Don't you let your things become gods to you. Don't you let those things, hey, don't you, there's plenty of things in this world today. Listen to me. There's plenty of things become more important than God. Hey, these things right here, they become important sometimes. Hey, these things right here, they become important. Amen. They become more important than God. So how, preacher? Because you give more of yourself to that. I can't lie. I could read my Bible, but I'd rather look on Facebook. I could talk to somebody about the Lord, but I'd rather talk about nonsense. I'd rather play a game. I'd rather this, other. I'd rather do other things than be Christian. You're cutting me, man. I know I'm cutting myself. It's a double-edged sword. It's sharp. But you listen to the Lord, and I'm done. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, look, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee, and what shall we have therefore? We gave up everything. Hey, Peter said, I'll fish in boat. Then let that keep me from following you. James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee, they left a lucrative business with their daddy, and they went and followed Jesus. Hey, Matthew left a good occupation, tax collector, to follow Jesus. And they left, I guarantee they left some family behind. They left some prestige behind. He said, what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now don't miss this. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands. See, what do you mean forsaken? I mean you didn't put them before God. That don't mean you got rid of them, you didn't want them anymore. It means that they were not more important to you than God was. Shall receive hundredfold. And shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last. Many that, hey, I'm more important. I'm in first place. I'm more important than, hey, I'll do what I want to. Jesus said, yeah, you'll be in last place. And the last shall be first. The one who doesn't know what the Lord wants is more important. I'm going to serve God. I don't care what it is. You can do what you want to do. I'm going to serve God. So, well, fine. You ain't going to be in our group. You're not going with us. You're not going to have the fun we're going to have. That's okay. I'll just serve God. Well, you're not cool anymore. That's okay. I don't have to be cool. I'm saved. Amen? I may not be cool now, but I'll be cool when you're hot. Amen? That's right. You're burning in hell. I'll be cool. Jesus said, if any come after me, he's going to have to deny himself. He's going to have to stop putting people on me. And he's going to have to realize everything he has belongs to me. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying we have to give him all. We have to give him everything. Like the songwriters have written, have thine way, Lord. I'm the clay. You're the potter. Amen? I've decided to follow Jesus. No turn back. Though none go with me, I'm still going to follow. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back. Narrow way. Cost you. The reward is worth the cost. If you're only halfway in, the world's going to mock Jesus because of you. That's why the world hates Christianity as much as it does today. Because Christians are not living true Christianity. It's a straight gate, but it's a narrow way. Few there be that find. I hope you will. I hope you walk in. Let's stand together. Our Lord, I preach the message that you directed me to preach this morning. Father God, I pray this morning the invitation, Lord, you work in our heart and our lives. Lord, that you